Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vaibhava ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Giriya Maharaj, Jaya Nitai Gopriman. Okay, so next Monday night we'll have the closed book exam, beginning at 7 to 9 o'clock in the temple theatre. And then your oral presentations, your open book examinations, also due next Monday. Well then, did you get a question from last night?
Yeah, I was just saying that if some of us are new to the program, so you can give guidelines or you can give some steps on how to raise your question. Find out if you have a
how to get better marks on the exam. So, maybe some of the more experienced devotees can offer some advice. Press schoolers? Yeah. Press schoolers weren't quite good. Gulab Jamun will definitely do it. And Shrikant. So that's the best way to get the best marks. No one's been bringing regularly this semester. So I can't guarantee any special favours and mercies for anyone. So basically you have 2 hours between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So 3 of the questions will be memorization, knowledge-based questions in which you have to write down the Sanskrit and the English for the verses, the key memory verses. So those 3. Then there'll be 10 questions which will cover part of the 12-hour Shastric study. So there'll be understanding, personal application, preaching application, faith and conviction, authority, theological application, evaluation, mood and mission, academic and moral integrity, realization, just like. So these, we went over, they're in your book, your study book, and we went over these in the very beginning, the orientation class, the beginning of it. So you'll have to answer according to the questions which are asked. In other words, if we're asking for an understanding, generally the words are used according to the aim, generally. So to say, give your understanding of, that means the question is in relation to understanding, the aim of understanding. So then you just have to explain basically, as if you're explaining to another person. In other words, you walk out of the class today, after class, someone says, what happened in the class? So you give some understanding of that. Then another aim is mood and mission. So we want to hear about your mood, how you appreciate the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness or whatever the question is relating to. Preaching application means it's as if you're preaching to someone. So if someone challenges you or asks you a question, then you preach to them. So you're writing to the person that you're preaching to. You're not writing to me, you're not writing to yourself, but you're writing to someone. Some devotees also make the mistake on their exams of just being very generic in their answers. They just write the same thing. They write, just follow the four regular principles, chant 16 rounds, read Prabhupada's book. Fine, you can write that for every single question, but it doesn't really relate directly to the question. And then you'll have like personal application. Personal application means how will you apply this to your personal life? So we want to understand how you personally apply this. So the more personal information you give them, obviously you'll get better marks because you're answering the question more appropriately. Some of the questions, one of the aims is realization. So we're asking for your realization. That means give your realization. Don't just repeat what's already in the Bhagavatam, in the text. Some devotees just literally just tell the story again. You know, some devotees just write, Ajamil did this, 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 and this. I already know what Ajamil did. I went to the class. I'm the only one who comes to all the class. I already know what Ajamil did. I read it already. So you don't have to tell me what Ajamil did. You have to rewrite the Bhagavatam. Okay? Yesterday I've already wrote the Bhagavatam. He did a better job than you. You don't have to rewrite it. But we're asking for your realization. What is your realization? Explain your realization. So these are some tips.
So when it comes to like our own realization and just some application, so then there's no wrong or right answer. What differentiates between getting a low and then the other than a high mark?
Well, it means that you'll have to be on the right track according to the answer. If you're completely off track, like if I'm asking, sometimes I ask for a particular question, like your realization about this particular thing, and devotees write about something completely different. So you don't even address what's being asked. Or, the question will be in relation to these six chapters. So sometimes devotees, they don't really relate their answers to the six chapters. They relate to some other part of the Bhagavad Gita or something. So the more you bring it back to the six chapters, if you can aim specifically for the particular part, then obviously you'll get a better mark also. Personal application means that if you write down how you personally intend to improve and a viable plan for devotees to say, well, I'll go for Mangalarti. Like that. So, okay, you can go to Mangalaya, then what's your plan to go to Mangalaya? You'll have to make some specific adjustments in your time, go to bed earlier, maybe less at night, things like that. So you have to think about it a little more deeply. And then afterwards, then I can mark your exam. I used to write a comment on every single answer. Because of time constraints, I don't always do that, which is not so good. I prefer to actually write. That's why I don't always do it, but if you'd like to discuss it, then you can come and discuss it with me afterwards and I can also give some feedback to you. I'm available to do that. Any other points? Is that satisfying?
I've got a couple of more questions
that I might ask you. We're better at the afternoon, we're not going to have it. It's next Monday night.
So this 5 mark question, like, generally, like a 3/4 page or a page, good indication of the size and the length of the answer or quality of
answer. Depends on the size of your writing, depends on the speed that you write at and so forth. Basically, I would say for the closed book exam, say 2 or 3 paragraphs should be sufficient. Now, generally, 2 or 3 paragraphs that are succinct. Or in other words, if you're speaking very concisely, some devotees also have the tendency they waffle on, just keep writing and writing and writing. It's like it's not really saying anything. It's just like filling in space, really, like that. So don't do like that. Answer. But, you know, some devotees they don't write very much either. They just write 1 paragraph or maybe just 2 paragraphs, but they don't really explore the point. Particularly on things like realization and personal application, you need to explore it a little bit deeper. So then you have to judge, because you only have 2 hours, so you have to judge. Basically you have 10 questions to answer, so then you have to give, you know, enough time to answer them appropriately. Anything else?
Maybe the English translation for the Vedas, does it have to be everything what the Prabhupada has written, or can it be like, the meaning is there?
Verbatim means you get a perfect mark. The meaning means if it strays away too much from Prabhupada's translation, then you may lose points in that regard. So you actually better to, you know, as the embodied soul continually passes in this body, body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body of death. A sober person is not bewildered by such things. So that's Prabhupada's literal translation. So it's actually very powerful in our preaching to literally memorize Prabhupada's words. We're trying to do that.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other points?
Who?
Why did he have to ring up? He does that every night. He changed for what? No, he's writing later than normal. Any other points? Okay. So tonight we'll go from verses 20 to 40. So we'll finish this chapter. So what happened in chapter 7? What is chapter 7 called? That is chapter 8.
No,
before chapter 8 there is chapter 7. And in chapter 7 is called? Indra attends his spiritual master Brihaspati. It's a very important chapter because Indra commits a great offense. Not only to a great devotee, but to his guru. So he fails to respect his guru when his guru enters into the assembly. And because of this, Brihaspati leaves in a very disturbed mood. He does not respond to Indra, and Indra tries to find him, he cannot find him. He becomes very perturbed, and because he offends his guru, he loses his power, and then the demigods are attacked by the demons, and the demons defeat the demigods. Then the demigods retreat, they go to Brahmaloka, they speak to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma tells them that they have to go and worship a new guru, whose name is Vishwarupa. They go to Vishwarupa, and they begin to worship him, and in order to protect them, so they gain power, so they can once again defeat the demigods, then he teaches them the Narayan Kavacha, which is this chapter, chapter 8. So we've read around about half of the chapter, now we'll read the second half tonight. If you have any questions, then we can ask them as we go. May Lord Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day. May Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. May Lord Narayan, who is equipped with all potencies, protect me in the third part of the day. And may Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day.
According to Vedic astronomical calculations, day and night are each divided into 30 khatkas, 24 nights, instead of 12 hours. Generally, each day and each night is divided into 6 parts, consisting of 5 khatkas. In each of the 6 portions of the day and night, the Lord may be addressed for protecting according to different names. Lord Keshava, the proprietor of the holy place of Mathura, is the Lord of the first portion of the day. And Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavan, is the master of the second portion.
So he points to any points? Welcome.
He is going to the logical thing for why Keshava in the first part is the reason for that?
Not that I know of, but being mentioned like that. Krishna Thakurati Thakur doesn't say why so much. He explains who, but he doesn't so much say why. Any other points? So the basic principle of Krishna consciousness is? Always remember Krishna and
never forget
Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami teaches us that all rules and regulations of Shastra are governed by these two points. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. This is called Vidhi and Nisheda. Vidhi means those things which should be done. Positive injunctions. So by following these things, we will remember Krishna. And Nisheda means those things which should be avoided. Certain things that if we do, they will cause us to forget Krishna. Just like when we take initiation in ISKCON, then we have one vidhi and four Nisheda, which we vow at the time of initiation. One thing we will do, which will help us to always remember Krishna. What is that? Chanting? Minimum? 16 rounds on beads per day. That is our minimum. So this is called Vidhi. And then after Vidhi we have Nisheda. Nisheda means those things that we should not do. Like that. So where will Gopal sit? For who is taking Gopal's food? Just sit down, Jagannath. We'll look it up. Oh, Jagannath, please sit. No, you didn't take it. Your father didn't take it. Are you happy, Gopal? If Gopal is happy, the whole class becomes happy. And if he's not happy, then big trouble. So, one thing that we say we will do, which will help us to remember Krishna, and then four things we abstain from, because they will make you forget Krishna. So all of the injunctions which are given in the Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Devotion is a summary study of the Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sutta. So Rupa Goswami, he has compiled many different items which will assist us to remember Krishna, and which will things that we must avoid so that we will not forget Krishna. So these injunctions are given by Srila Rupa Goswami within the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada has summarized in the Nectar of Devotion. And all of these different injunctions, they are assisting us in developing our Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada said, he's called the Nectar of Devotion, the science of Bhakti Yoga. So it is a science. You must follow a particular system in order to get the result. Just like when we were in school, we used to go to science class in high school, so you'd have the hypothesis. And from the hypothesis, then you would guess, oh, this will be the result. So if I do this particular combination, if I mix these particular chemicals, I will get this result. So the Nectar of Devotion is telling us that if we follow these particular rules and these particular regulations, if we do these things and avoid these things, we will get the result. What is the result? Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So that's what we're always aiming for. To always remember Krishna. So if you follow these particular things, it will help you to always remember Krishna. If you avoid these particular things, then it will help you to never forget Krishna. So Rupa Goswami has compiled 64 angas of bhakti. These 64 things, they will help us to remember Krishna. Most of them are considered vidhi. There is also nisheta. Now, just like if you begin reading chapter 6, of Nectar of Devotion, then Rupa Goswami, he points out, you follow these different things. And then when you get to chapter 8, then he says, okay, offenses to be avoided. So these are things that you must avoid. Because if you do these things, they will cause you to forget Krishna. So then he says there are 64 offenses when worshipping the deity. They're called seva aparad. If you commit these offenses, they will prohibit you from remembering Krishna. That's why you have to be very careful about avoiding offenses. That's why Nisringa Kavacha Prabhu taught his deity worship course. Hands up if you did the course. Very good. Hands up if you did the course. Okay. So, the course is teaching us how to avoid offenses in worshipping the deity. Because if we commit offenses, then it will stop us from remembering Krishna. So therefore you have to know what should be done and what should not be done. So we learn those things which must be avoided and then those positive things that we must do. So that's why we have to learn the science of Bhakti Yoga. If you did the deity worship course, you realize it is not a haphazard process. You can't just do anything. It is very particular. Krishna is a very particular person. He has likes, he has dislikes. And he's very refined. So you have to worship him according to his taste, according to his life. Then you will please him. And then you will get the result, is that you will remember Krishna. But if you commit offenses, right, if you don't understand those things which Krishna does not like, and you do those things, then you will displease Krishna. And if you displease him, then that will cause you to forget him. So you have to understand the system. What is vidhi, what is nisheda? So Rupa Goswami gives a great deal of detail in the Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada says the Nectar of Devotion is the law book for ISKCON. It has all of the instructions in it in order to become fully Krishna conscious. Just like in the very beginning, after the first 20, the first 20 items, what are they called? The first 20 items out of the 64. No, they're not all do's, some of them are do's. No, that's in the next group. That's not in the first 20. That's in the second 44. Yeah, Guru Bhattacharya showed us the first one. But he calls them Bhakti Dwara. Bhakti Dwara means these first 20 are the gateway to Bhakti. This is the, especially the first 10. He says the first 10 especially are the gateway to Bhakti. And actually he says the first 3 are the most important in to develop Bhakti. First one is taking shelter of the Guru. This is the most important principle. If you want to reach Krishna, you need to take shelter of the Guru. Just like Nisringa Kavacha Prabhu taught his course. So you've taken shelter of the Guru. He is a Shiksha Guru. So he's giving you instruction on how to please Krishna, how to worship Krishna appropriately. So you have to understand all these things. Just like one of the offenses is not to fall asleep in the temple or in the Bhagavatam class. It is an offense. You cannot attain Krishna if you're falling asleep. Just like, how do you feel if someone comes to your house and they fall asleep? Yeah, you feel they're tired. Or even, how do you feel if you go to someone's house and they fall asleep? Then how do you feel?
They're not interested.
Yeah, that's it. You don't feel welcome. It doesn't feel very welcome. Someone says, come to my house, and they fall asleep. So when you are worshipping Krishna, then you have to avoid these offenses. That's why it says, do not fall asleep in the temple. You go into the temple and then you fall asleep, then what? How does Krishna feel?
You can go to the temple to close the eyes.
What's that?
You can go to the temple to close the eyes.
Yeah, you close your eyes sometimes, but you also take darshan of Krishna, you also look at Krishna.
Why close eyes? Why don't you look your eyes?
Yeah, because we're meditating within also.
You can?
Yeah, a little bit, but not too much. I remember when I first I've been devoted for about 4 years or so, 4 or 5 years, and then I used to, at Mangalati time, you know, we chant Samsara, Dhavana, Vidaloka, so we chant Guru Vashtika and like that. And then I used to close my eyes pretty much for the whole thing, because I was like meditating internally. But then Korma Prabhu, he used to chastise me, said, don't close your eyes, because you're in front of Radha Balabhi, in front of the deities, you should be taking darshan. So I asked my spiritual master, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, yes, Korma Prabhu is right. He said, you can close your eyes a little bit, you know, sometimes you close our eyes, but you should mainly be taking darshan of the deities.
A lot of people come, they only come and close eyes and sit half an hour and close eyes.
I just answered your question. So, we have to learn what are the vidhi, what things we should do. Just like one of the vidhi, after the first 20, then you have the next 44. One of them is to apply tilak to 12 parts of the body. So some people, they only put tilak just here, because you can't see the other parts. But actually, we should apply tilak to all of the places appropriately. Jayapataka Swami, he told me that sometimes I've seen him go up to the devotees. He just walks up to them and says, you put tilak on all 12 parts? Not bad.
You have to take all 12 parts very specifically, or just like here, then you can't put both of them.
Then I use a stamp. You can use a stamp, or... Hey, Jagannath Ram, what are you doing? Is this your takeaway video?
Yeah.
Put it on, I'll say something special.
Okay.
No, at the end of the class. So then you put the tilak on all 12 places of the body. That is the proper system. Even in nectar of devotion, then one of the angas is that you write Hare Krishna on your body. And you see like Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj and certain devotees, they often write with tilak Hare Krishna on their body. Like that. So this is the vidhi, things that should be done, which will help you to remember Krishna. And you have to also learn very carefully those things which should not be done. And many things are there in nectar of devotion. And they should be understood also. Any points so far?
Sanskrit, Hare Krishna.
Yeah. You have to learn the Sanskrit. Any other points? They are repeated at the end. Yes, he goes through the 60, he goes through 69, and then the last five, then he repeats again, although they've all been repeated once or twice already in the list, and then he repeats them again to show that these five are the most powerful. Nam Sankirtan, Sadhu Sangha, Mathura Das, Bhagavat Shravan, Sri Murtir, Shradaya, Srivan. These are the most important of all, according to Lord Chaitanya's teaching through the scholars. Is that an answer to
your question? It's pretty interesting, but this one, the entrance, the end of the what the root is from the bhakti. Is that what we should understand?
We have to have a look at them very carefully.
They're the most important. That's what we're working on.
Sadhu Sangha. Guru Padashara. Technically, same thing. We'd have to look at the list and compare it to. Okay, any other thoughts? May Lord Madhusudan, who carries a bow, very fearful for the demons, protect me during the fifth part of the day. In the evening, may Lord Madhava, appearing as Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, protect me. And in the beginning of night, may Lord Hrishikesh protect me. At the end of night, in the second and third parts of night, may Lord Padmanabha alone protect me. So as we said, the injunction is always remember Krishna, never forget him. So in the Narayana Devata we are praying that at different times of the day, we will remember Krishna. According to different periods of the day, a particular form of the Lord is the presiding deity of that. So we're praying like that, always to remember Krishna. During this Mahartha and then during that Mahartha and during the different times of the day, we're always remembering Krishna. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who bears the Sri Vatsa on his chest, protect me after midnight until the sky becomes pinkish. May Lord Janardana, who carries a sword in his hand, protect me at the end of night during the last four gatikas of night. May Lord Damodar protect me in the early morning, and may Lord Vishweshwara protect me during the junctions of day and night. Set into motion by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and wandering in all the four directions, the disc of the Supreme Lord has sharp edges, as destructive as the fire of devastation at the end of the millennium. As a blazing fire burns dry grass to ashes with the assistance of the breeze, may that Sudarshan Chakra burn our enemies to ashes. O club in the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you produce sparks of fire as powerful as thunderbolts, and you are extremely dear to the Lord. I am also his servant. Therefore, kindly help me pound to pieces the evil king, the evil living beings known as Kushmandas, Vainayakas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhutas, and Grahas. Please pulverize them. O best of conchels, O Panchajanya, in the hands of the Lord, you are always filled with the breath of Lord Krishna. Therefore, you create a fearful sound vibration that causes trembling in the hearts of enemies like the Rakshasas, Pramatagos, Pretas, Matas, Pishachas, and Brahmanagos with fearful eyes. So we are praying to the Lord's different weapons, those things he carries. So four things are particularly known that he carries. He carries the lotus, the conch, the disc, and the club. Okay. So specifically, it is mentioned the lotus and the conch, they give inspiration to the devotees. Okay. When we hear the Lord's conch being blown, or when we hear the conch being blown at the beginning of the aarti or the end of the aarti, we feel inspiration. And when we get the soft touch of the lotus, when Krishna touches us very softly and sweetly with the lotus, we feel inspiration in his service. And Krishna's different parts of Krishna's body are described to be like a lotus. Okay. And then the club and the disc, specifically they are meant for the demons. In other words, the club is meant to destroy demoniac personalities, as is this Sudarshan disc. So sometimes Krishna also uses these on us. Sometimes he gives us the club, and sometimes he gives us the lotus flower. So Lord Chaitanya says, whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or make me broken-hearted by not being present before me, still you are my Lord's birth after the birth. So this is the test for each of us. Do we remain equipoised and equally devoted to Krishna when we are being treated roughly by him and when we're being treated very softly by him? Generally, when we're being treated softly, it's very easy to be a good devotee. But when we get a little bit of rough treatment by Krishna, then our devotion is tested. And then we have to see how devoted we are. Sometimes Krishna shows us we're not so devoted as we thought. He gives us some tests to make us understand our actual position. Beautiful.
They were mentioning some Brahmana ghosts. What are these Brahmana ghosts?
Pramata ghosts.
Not Brahmana.
Pramata.
Brahmana.
What's 25? 25? Sorry.
Okay,
we'll go back. 25. Oh, okay. Yeah, Pishachas and Brahmana ghosts with fearful eyes. A Brahmana ghost? That is a ghost who became... that is a Brahmana who became a ghost. That is called Brahmana ghost.
How the Brahmana can become a ghost?
How the Brahmana can become a ghost?
That is something of Brahmana.
What is it?
Brahmana.
Brahmana ghost. The Brahmana who became a ghost. He's both. He's a ghost but also a Brahmana. Okay. So how did they become?
Because of the simple act.
Ah, some simple act. The Brahmana committed some simple act. And then they become a ghost.
Offending the guru.
Offending the guru or something like that.
Where is written?
Where it is
written that? Actually, Mayavadi, Shankaracharya, Guru was a Brahmana. Any Brahmana would die in unnatural death. He cannot go. Any Brahmana would die in unnatural death. He cannot get the smoke, or whatever. He becomes ghost till he gets the water from it.
where that is written.
It was written in legal rules. We did it in some part of Bhagavad, you have to offer.
Where that is written.
You can bring some, then it's very good.
You have to bring some.
So there is something called Garuda Puran.
Garuda.
Guru Puran.
Garuda.
And in there?
Yes. Anybody to come ghost, we have to offer paint, you know. Why they become ghost? Why they offer the paint? So then they offer the paint, then they take next life. That's not the girl, Lord, you know, carry off the Lord Vishnu. He described any time had a breath taken place in India. In the 13th day, Garuda Puran has been read. And so we are still conscious. You know, when somebody dies, what happens to them is all problems. It's in the Bhagavad.
Are you satisfied?
Thank you so much for your contribution.
Thank you for everyone who gave contribution. Okay. They know more than I know. So. Okay. So the ghost is mentioned within the shastra. So recently there was a story, you know, Karuni Nindprabhu sends out those stories. They sent one a couple of weeks ago, the ghost one, about the devotees in Italy, and one ghost was in the house, and the devotees went there, and they began to chant the Maha Mantra all through the house, and they threw the holy water all through the house, and the ghost finally left like that. So this is our system, that if the ghost is causing some problem, then you chant Maha Mantra, and particularly you put this picture of Nisringhade that will frighten them, he will give you protection. So this ghost problem is there, then you can do like that. Yes, sir.
Then I can go to next life. He said, what do you want to choose? He said, but because I am Jew, there is only Hindu culture which people can offer the they can be liberated when they become. So then he said, I tell you where the money is, go and dig up the money. And he goes in this fellow done for him. And it was a story in the newspaper in the mountain. So then he got his, done his ritual. So there many, many incidents we saw in India. I have myself seen the ghost when I was grazing my cow, and there was I was very young, 13, 14 years old. We used to take the cows to common land to graze them. So we used to have a lot of people used to get car, and we used to, they were designated to us. When the cow goes this side, and you go that side, you go. Then cow goes that side, you go. It was my turn to go. I saw the woman playing drum and the beautiful dress, and there was a circling in that. Because there was, in 1947, there were a lot of people being killed in that area when Pakistan and India get separated. So I saw that sight, and I was calling, oh, my younger brother, cousin brother, his name is Om. I used to call him Om. I call him 3 potentities. So he was a very nice soul, and I remember I always tell him that it was not a dream. I 100%
there are so many ghost stories that we did.
So we'll move on now. I've heard so many stories. But we'll keep going, otherwise we can just tell ghost stories. And when I was a kid, I used to say that if you talk about them too much, then they come. So I'm a little scared now, so. O King of sharp-edged swords, you are engaged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please cut the soldiers of my enemies to pieces. Please cut them to pieces. O shield marked with 100 brilliant moon-like circles, please cover the eyes of the sinful enemies. Pluck out their sinful eyes. May the glorification of the transcendental name form qualities and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Protect us from the influence of bad planets, meteors, envious human beings, serpents, scorpions, and animals like tigers and wolves. May it protect us from ghosts and the material elements like earth, water, fire, and air. And may it also protect us from lightning and our past sins. We are always afraid of these hindrances to our auspicious life. Therefore, may they all be completely destroyed by chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is Prabhupada's translation. Because if you read the Sanskrit, it doesn't say Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now look at the Sanskrit. It doesn't say Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But what does Prabhupada say? In the
third line.
Third one. Nama Rupanu Kirtana. Then Prabhupada specifically is saying the Hare Krishna mantra. Because in the age of Kali, this is the supreme protection. And actually, devotees generally we just take shelter of the holy name. Because it is described that in the Harinam Chintamani, the holy name can protect you from all sorts of inauspicious influences in your life. Even the influences of the negative planets. Sometimes devotees get very caught up with the auspicious and inauspicious planets in their astrological chart. And then they think, I need to have a pearl and a ruby and a sapphire and an emerald, and then I'll be safe. And those things, that's okay, you can have those things. But the most important protection for the devotee is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because Haridas Thakur said that even the influence of the inauspicious planets can be overcome by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. So this is the most important influence in our devotional service. So especially we take shelter of just chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. I personally feel like that. You know, we may do extra things and pray extra things, but basically it's just chanting Hare Krishna. We feel that the Yuga Dharma that will protect us. Basically. Vishwarupa is talking to Indra?
O King of sharp exposure and gate of the Supreme Lord. Because in all the other verses, he is addressing the Supreme Lord. Now, suddenly, he is O King of sharp exposure.
No, he's talking about the Lord's weapon. He's talking about Krishna's sword. Krishna's chakra, Krishna's conch, Krishna's club, Krishna's sword. Yeah. Krishna, one of his incarnations, their sword. The Lord's weapon. Someone else had a point?
I just want to ask you about talking about the Kusali and the stone there and all the other things you say, Dan Harris and everything. So, why can't we just follow what's happening? Because then again the debate starts, so maybe we can do this, we can do that. Can't we just follow the path and that's it?
That's up to you, if you want to do it. Thank you, Ashok. Do I have any stones on my fingers? Huh? Go ahead. But then I know other devotees do too. So it's personal choice. Bhavan Swamida. Thank you, Mr. Jain. Prabhupada Swamida. Yes, sir. Prabhupada,
yeah.
Prabhupada
has one.
Not Jyotishri specifically. At the end, yeah, there was a talk of him having a blue sapphire made up. Prabhupada, at the end, something like that.
Man told me Narada, something from Narada Muni, he said that there should be some the remedies for the plague, so one can be fixed with
it. Should what?
Should be done some remedies for the planet so we can be fixed with nature devotional service. It's the same like going to the doctor when you get sick, you don't chant all the time. You have to do something practical because you have the body. And you have to pacify the planet so they can leave you alone and you can live your life peacefully and do your devotional service.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Some devotees do it, some devotees don't do it. So it's personal choice, whatever you choose to do. Some devotees have the ring, some don't.
I don't have a reference, but my Atmananda Prabhu, who is the yoga teacher with the treatment, he said that the 12 houses of zodiac correspond with the 12 senses of
Siddhartha. Could be like that.
They correspond to the chakras. Every planet has one ruling chakra, and unless we get purified by the chakras, this enlightenment can't get kind, which we have to develop the chakras to get to this. Chanting does help, but this can help as well.
No, I'm not saying it can't help, I'm saying it's personal choice. I mean, what you're saying, but I'm saying it's personal choice. Because some devotees will go back to Godhead and they never wore one emerald or one sapphire. And other devotees, they choose to do these things, so it's personal choice.
Was that those
other things secondary, first? Yeah, primary is chanting. Because I know some devotees who wear gems and they get right into astrology, but they don't chant very much. So that's not very good. You should chant, and then if you want to add these things, you can add these things.
The main reason I don't wear the gems is because I can't afford them.
Because if someone gives them to me, I'll wear them.
Yeah,
all
the impediment in your life. So that's
a little. Yeah. That's what Harinam Chaitanya says. Harinam Chaitanya is no mention of the gems. Like that. So it's just personal choice. Because I know some devotees were. Like Banner's song, he's got that. Many of the Prabhupada's stuff they wear, and nothing's done. So, up to you. Any other points?
Mentioning all the different forms of the Lord and different times. We talked about the number of the Lord, the form of the Lord, but when it comes to the ministry, and the practice and the reference to the Lord, we think that the following way at a different time, and some of the other people in the world can be able to think of the Lord, or the idea of the Lord, or the idea of the Lord.
Possible. Just like in the late 80s, one of Prabhupada's sons, his biological son, took ISKCON to court at the end of the 80s. And there was a big court case because he said, this is my father's property, ISKCON, and it belongs to me. It's a big court case, went on for a long time. Not that, not too long, but a little bit, like on the side. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and some other devotees, Narayan Maharaj came at that time to give evidence. Different devotees had to come to fight the court case, in court, fight Prabhupada's son basically. Because when Prabhupada left the planet, he left his will, he left money for his ex-wife and children. He gave them a good amount of money, he didn't give them a little bit, he gave them a substantial amount. Not so much, because this one was worth much, much more, but he gave them a good amount. But then one of them decided to take ISKCON and try to keep ISKCON. So then they went to court. So every morning, they're in Juru, in Bombay, every morning they would go to the deities, the Darshanati, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and Narayan Maharaj, and then they'd go to the court, And then in the morning, Svakrishna Maharshi would pray. So then after a few days, one of the devotees said to him, because he'd go to Lord Ram's altar in Juru, the three altars, Ram, Sita, Lakshman, and Hanuman. So they said, oh, you keep going to Ram's altar, you're spending most of your time in front of Ram's altar, so you're praying to Ram for victory. He said, no, I'm not praying to Ram, I'm praying to Ram's weapon. To defeat Prabhupada's name. Okay. So this is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam, the pressure of the weapon specifically, to give power, victory, and that, like that. Myself, I just pray to Nisringadeva. Basically, if, you know, things are really difficult, I pray to the Lord Nisringadeva to move. You know, I don't pray all different forms. Basically, I just pray to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and Nisringadeva. Okay. Lord Ramachandra sometimes. Basically, these are Krishna days. What is in your heart? The Bhagavatam says you can do all of this, or you can just simplify. I'm a simple person. I can't remember all these different, so I just pray like just a Krishna. Or things become intense and I pray to Krishna. Okay. Up to you.
Any other points? Which verse are we up to?
29. One devotee says 29, okay. Lord Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, is the most worshipable Lord, but he is as powerful as the Supreme Lord himself. He is the personified Vedas and is worshipped by selected verses. May he protect us from all dangerous conditions, and may Lord Vishwaksena, the personality of Godhead, also protect us from all dangers by his holy names. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Godhead's holy names, his transcendental forms, his carriers, and all the weapons decorating him as personal associates protect our intelligence, senses, mind, and life air from all dangers.
Mahamudra. There are various associates of transcendental personality of Godhead, and his weapons and carriers are mankind. In the spiritual world, nothing is material. The soul, bow, club, disc, and everything decorating the personal body of the Lord are spiritual living force. Therefore, the Lord is called Advaya Jnana, indicating that there is no difference between him and his names, forms, qualities, weapons, and so on. Anything pertaining to him is in the same category of spiritual existence. They are all engaged in the service of Lord in varieties of spiritual things.
Mm. So what are the points there?
Important
everything in the spiritual world is personified. Everything has personality because it is conscious. So everything you'll see in the spiritual world has its own personality and can relate to Krishna and can relate to everything else in the spiritual world. So all of Krishna's weapons have their own personality. Sudarshana is actually a form of the Lord who personifies as Sudarshan, as a chakra, like that. So these different forms, they are there to serve Krishna and to assist Krishna in his pastime. So the entire spiritual world is conscious. Yeah, chintamani. Chinta means conscious. Chit, conscious. Okay. Chintamani. Mani means stone or gem. Like that. So everything in the spiritual world is chitta, it is conscious. It is chit shakti. Mm-hmm. So everything in the spiritual world is assisting Krishna and has personality. So in this way, Now, Krishna can relate to everything in the spiritual world. And actually, it's mentioned in the morning when Krishna goes for his tending the cows in the cowherd pastures. When he enters into the forest, Krishna glances at all the different bushes, all the different trees, all the different flowers, because each one of them is personified. They are a personality, they are conscious, and they are Krishna's devotees. So he reciprocates with all of them by seeing them and touching them. As he goes past the different leaves and the different vines, he touches them, and he reciprocates with them. Even in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, you'll read that Srila Prabhupada, he one time stayed with John Lennon at Tittenhurst, which was John Lennon's estate in England. And Prabhupada stayed there for a period of time, and he used to go for a walk every morning around the grounds. And then the day that Prabhupada left, then he went for his walk, and as he was leaving, he was touching each of the trees, stopping and touching each of the trees. So Prabhupada was understanding that there was personality within each of these trees. In the spiritual world, it's like that. You can have reciprocation with every living entity. Okay. That's the wonder of Krishna's pastimes. Any points?
Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it also feels Krishna.
The Mahamantra, it's mentioned in the Anshalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is the sound vibration of Krishna's flute. So when Krishna plays his flute, it enters the material world as the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Does that answer your question? Or does it confusion? The Hare Krishna Mantra is Radha Krishna. It says Krishna and Radha together. Any other points? Everyone is tired? Everyone is falling asleep? Not everyone, the sun is wrong. Time to wake up. You jago. Gaura Chandra. Bole. What Chaitanya is saying, don't fall asleep. How long have you slept in the lap of that witch called Maya? Time to wake up. In ISKCON. Yeah, if you want to, you can. What's the question? Program? It's part of the morning program.
Yeah.
Voters just do it themselves. Yeah, it's up to you. If you want to do it, you can do it. I know devotees. When I joined, I know devotees who used to do it. They used to chant it, but I've never done it. I've never chanted it. So. Some devotees say have chanted it. So if you want to chant it, you can. It's in the Bhagavatam, so it's up to you if you want to chant it. Now is the time to chant it. You're studying it. So.
Isn't that Yashoda? She will call Brahmanas whenever something happens to Krishna. She will call Brahmanas to chant mantras for protection.
Recite the Sanskrit.
Then
chant Hare Krishna.
Yes, it seems that Chandi Narayana Kavata is the only part of the there is too much of asking to the Lord to protect me. Every month we are asking the Lord to push forward. Whereas if it is a mood of Sanatana Goswami, he chatted Rupa Goswami even when Radharani was holding Radharani.
Raghunath Das.
The holy name for Raghunath Das. Don't ask the Lord to push. Because the mood even of Sri Sambhavaya, many of the Ramana's there is protected. don't ask about the protection. So, is that a correct understanding? Part of Nandi Kamala. There is no place in the Mathura, don't have a place in that knowledge. The higher realms of
in higher realms of bhakti, these mantras would be used, as Russell was pointing out, to protect Krishna. That's how they would be chanted. Devotee would say like that. In the higher realms of bhakti, then when the devotees are being threatened, like you read later on in the 10th canto, then they'll call directly to Krishna himself. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabahu. And the cowherd boys chant mantras like this. And they're in the cowherd field. In some danger, they say, Krishna, Krishna. Mahabaho, you have strong arms, come and protect us. Okay.
One of the factors of surrender is depending on Krishna.
Yes, yeah, so that's part of pure devotional service.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Protect the Devata in this material world. If you want to stay in material world, you can chant Dharana Kavala. If you want to go away, you have to stand away. So I don't think there's a
lot of it. Up to you if you want to chant it or not.
It's the opposite teaching of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is for the dying world who is maintaining the material world. They are in trouble. So they have been told to ask the benediction for Lord Narayana to protect them, they can maintain the material world.
No, because the devotee is preaching. The devotee is preaching so he may chant it. I know devotees who chant, who have chanted this or do chant it.
What is the purpose of chanting?
To protect us. We're in the material world, so we're preaching. Like Indrajumna Swami is preaching, right? So maybe he is chanting Narayana Kavacha for protection. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. So we can use it for pure devotional purposes. Like I said, up to you. If you want to chant it, we're studying it now, so chant it. If you feel inspired, then chant it.
And you've heard that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was chanting sannyasis. He told them to chant some sympathetic prayers for protection when they go outside.
Yeah, I chant in the Sringadeva a lot. Yeah, because this world is pretty dangerous. So I chant.
When my Guru Maharaj was really sick, when he went to the yoga, right from the yoga, everyone was thinking the Shiva doctor is spoken. But that was requested by the Lord and everyone did.
Nishriya Kavacha. This is Narayana Kavacha. It's up to you if you want to chant and chant.
And then the other one comes down. There is plenty of Kavacha.
What do you feel inspired to do? Like I said, I mean, it's here, it's in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Amala Purana. It is Amala Purana. So the Narayana Kavacha says, if you want to chant it, chant it. Like it's a pure prayer. Okay, so if you want to chant it, chant it. I personally have never chanted it, but you know, maybe I will, because I'm getting very inspired by all of your association.
But you live in the past, bro, because you probably need it. In the past.
Okay, so why don't we go back to the beginning of the chapter and we'll begin to chant the mantra together. Okay, so if you feel, if you want to wear gems or chant the Narayana Kavacha, it's up to you. It's your personal choice. Okay. I haven't done it personally, but if you want to do it, you can do it. Point is, I feel protected. That's my point. I feel protected. Like, you know, when I had that car accident, I was about to die. Basically, cars going off the road very quickly, right? I started saying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And that, I feel that's enough. That's how I feel in my heart. And sometimes, if there's something going on, I pray to the Srimad. Because I feel like, you know, he will protect. And it's interesting, because when you finish this, we'll get to it in the next few verses, when he chants the whole Narayana Kavacha, he chants one extra verse to the Srimad. So it's up to you what you want to chant. Whatever's in your heart, chant it. That's the point.
based in the Bhagavad Gita, so it's pure. So you feel inspired and care. It's very powerful. The Narayana Kavacha is undoubtedly very powerful. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise it would be in some other place in the Vedas. It's not in the Bhagavad Gita. It's included. So it's very powerful. And if you feel like it, then chant it. Okay, where are we up to?
31.
51. Okay. The subtle and gross cosmic manifestation is material, but nevertheless it is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead because He is ultimately the cause of all causes. Cause and effect are factually one because the cause is present in the effect. Therefore the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, can destroy all our dangers by any of His potent powers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the entire creation are all individual substances. In the ultimate analysis, however, together they constitute the Supreme One, the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge see unity in diversity. For such advanced persons, the Lord's bodily decorations, His name, His fame, His attributes and forms, and the weapons in His hand are manifestations of the strength of His potency. According to their elevated spiritual understanding, the omniscient Lord, who manifests various forms, is present everywhere. May He always protect us everywhere from all calamities. Prahlad Maharaj loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Nrisimhadev. May Lord Nrisimhadev, roaring for His devotee Prahlad Maharaj, protect us from all fear of dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions through poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. May the Lord cover their influence by His own transcendental influence. May Nrisimhadev protect us in all directions and in all corners, above, below, within, and without. Vishwarup continued, O Indra, this mystic armor related to Lord Narayan has been described by me to you. By putting on this protective covering, you will certainly be able to conquer the leaders of the demons. If one employs this armor, whoever he sees with his eyes or touches with his feet is immediately freed from all the above-mentioned dangers. This prayer, Narayan Kavacha, constitutes subtle knowledge transcendentally connected with Narayana. One who employs this prayer is never disturbed or put in danger by the government, by plunderers, by evil demons, or by any type of disease. O King of Heaven, a Brahmana named Kaushika formerly used this armor when he purposely gave up his body in the desert by mystic power. Surrounded by many beautiful women, Chitrarata, the king of Gandhava Loka, was once passing in his airplane over the Brahmana's body at the spot where the Brahmana had died. Suddenly, Chitrarata was forced to fall from the sky head first with his airplane. Struck with wonder, he was ordered by the great sages named the Vali Kilyas to throw the Brahmana's bones in the nearby Saraswati River Saraswati. He had to do this and bathe in the river before returning to his abode. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, My dear Maharaj Parikshit, one who employs this armor or hears about it with faith and veneration, when afraid because of any condition in the material world, is immediately freed from all dangers and is worshipped by all living entities. King Indra, who performed 100 sacrifices, received this prayer of protection from Vishwarupa after conquering the demons. He enjoyed all the opulences of the true world.
This mystical matrix armor given by Vishwarupa to Indra, the king of heaven, acted powerfully with the effect that Indra was able to conquer the Asuras and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds without impediment. In this regard, Madhvacharya points out, Vidya Karmani Cha Sada Guru Prapta Phala Prada Anyatha Naiva Phalada Prasanna Nokta Phala Prada. One must receive all kinds of mantras from a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise the mantras will not be true. This is indicated in Bhagavad Gita 4.34. That will be Pranipatena, Paripashena, Sevaya, Supadikshan, Sri, Jnana, Sanyana, Tattva, Darshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. All mantras should be received through the authorized guru, and the disciple must satisfy the guru in all respects after surrendering at his lotus feet. In the Padma Purana, it is also said, Sampradaya Viniha Vihina Ye Mantras Te Nishfala Madana. There are four sampradayas, or this is expressions, namely the Brahma Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, Shri Sampradaya, and Samadhi Sampradaya. If one wants to advance in spiritual power, one must receive his mantras from one of these qualified sampradayas. Otherwise, he will never successfully advance in spiritual life.
So, any points in the final paragraph?
If you receive mantra from one place,
any other points?
Is it because of this offense he got a body of a pig or something, is it something else again?
It's not for this offense. Okay. Yeah, something else. He did another offense. Okay, so if you want to chant any mantra, you have to get it from your guru. So you can chant this mantra. If you want to chant the Ranga Vasha, it's there, it's in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada has given it to you. Like that. The Yasudev has given it to you. So it is there for you to chant. If you feel inspired, you can chant it. Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.